You know, I have a real simple message for us tonight, real practical, but hopefully really helpful at the same time. So, Father, open our hearts, our minds, our ears to hear your word tonight, to receive it, embrace it, walk in it, in Jesus' name. Amen. How many enjoy the blessings of God? Right? You enjoy the blessings of God? Yes. Me too. Tonight I want to talk to you about one of the keys to really experiencing the blessings of God in your life in a new way. In an expanded way. You know, God blesses us. Are you happy with how much He's blessed you? Are you? I want more. He's blessed me real good, but I want more. And I believe that the church lives below the level of God's wanting to bless us in our lives. And for a lot of reasons. And we're just going to talk about one for a few minutes tonight. You know, many years ago, I had the privilege of traveling to Seoul, South Korea to visit Full Gospel Central Church. At the time was led by Apostle Dr. Paul Yonggi Cho. And the church had millions of, I mean, it was huge. In South Korea, it was, at that time, way back then, there was over 1 million people, which was unheard of. And it was, I can't explain to you what it was like to be in the midst of that assembly, hearing that many voices worshiping God. It was phenomenal. And of course, you couldn't get 1 million people in there, but the place that they had room for like 60,000 people, and it was... The funniest thing happened. We went there to hear Yonggi Cho. You know who the guest speaker was that day? Tommy Reed. Now, if you don't know, Tommy Reed lives in Buffalo. So I went to Seoul, South Korea to hear Tommy Reed preach. It was awesome. But when people asked Dr. Cho about the secret to his success, he gave them, you know, not this really long dissertation. He gave them a four-word answer. He said, "I pray and I obey." That's five words. I pray and I obey. Now, that sounds real simple to most of us. But just those words, that little statement implies a lot of things that are really critical for us to be able to walk in the blessing of God. And the first implication is that he was in some kind of a relationship with God that was beyond gimme, 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 gimme. It was more of a deep, personal, intimate relationship with God. And in that place of his presence, everything is built out of our relationship with God. Everything we experience is based on our relationship with God, our walk with him. And so in that place, he would go into that place of God's presence to hear what God was saying. You can't hear what God is saying if you're not in the place to give us presence to hear that. When we go into that place of God's presence, it's got to be more than just about us and what we want and what we need. There's a time for that. I think the second implication in that statement when he says, "I pray and I obey," is that there's an attitude of surrender. I think we talked about that earlier. It implies a surrendered life. And so my challenge to you tonight as we go through some of these things is I want you to hear what God is saying and what God wants to do in our lives so that you can more fully walk in all that God has for your life. Because I don't believe we've reached a place where we are living in the fullness of all that God has for us. We're not there. So it's a place of complete surrender. I'm there to hear what God is saying. I pray and I obey. The thought is, Lord, I'm here. I'm in this place of your presence. What are you saying? What is it you want me to do? My life is surrendered to you, God. Not my will, but yours be done. The same surrender that Jesus had in the garden. So the other implication is there's a cost to get to this place. There's a cost to get to this place of relationship with the Father, where you are in a place of His presence, where you hear His voice. So the other implication is not only am I there just to pray, but I'm there to hear. He had an expectation that when he went into that place of presence where God was, that he would hear God say something to him. Is that what you take into your place of presence? Is that what you take when you get alone with God? You know, I still know that for most Christians, most believers, it's more about our talking and not listening so much. Sometimes we need to just get in the place of God's presence and say nothing. Just sit there. Just lay there. Kneel, whatever you do. And say nothing. Be still. And let God speak. Here I am, Lord. What are you saying? And so as simple as it sounds, I pray and I obey, there's so much more to that than what we might think. Oh, that's easy. Really? There's a scripture in Deuteronomy, and I'm going to read this to you from the New Living. Today, I'm giving you the choice between a blessing and a curse. Now, which one will you choose? Everybody who wants blessings, stand to your feet. That was quick. That's what you got to do, right? If you want a curse, stay standing. There you go. Nobody wants to walk in cursing, right? We all want to walk in the blessing. But we got to read the rest of the verse. Today, you know, before I do that, I got to say this because I heard this. I heard the Lord say this to me when I was during worship tonight. Today I'm giving you a choice between a blessing and a curse. I heard the Lord say to me tonight when I was sitting over there that there's somebody in this house tonight that you're in the valley of decision and you have a choice to make. You're in the midst of making a choice. And for you, it seems like a really tough choice. But what I'm saying to you tonight is if you will just hear God in that place and do what God tells you to do, it'll be okay. Whatever it is, it'll be okay. He will help you make the right choice. You're saying, do I do this? Do I do that? Do I go this way or do I go that way? If you will just get still, I tell you tonight, God will tell you, this is the way, go there. All right. Today I'm giving you the choice between a blessing and a curse. You'll be blessed if you obey the commands of the Lord your God that I'm giving you today. You will receive a curse if you reject the commands of the Lord your God and turn away from his way by worshiping foreign gods. So the Bible tells us there's a way that seems right to a man, but it's the way that leads to destruction. It's a way that leads to death. But then there's God's way, right? There's God's way and there's your way. There's God's way and my way. Right? And how many times, you know, we've heard the phrase, right? My way or the highway. Well, God says, my way or the highway to us. Because you have to understand that this little word called obey or obedience is one of the things that's keeping you from the blessings of God. I'll explain it more. Obedience is a choice that we have. It's a choice that you have. You can choose to hear what God is saying and obey it. You can choose to obey what's in the Word, or you can refuse to obey what's in the Word. You choose. You choose. And thank God He's given us free will and free choice. That's why in the garden Jesus said, Lord, Father, not my will, but your will. So the surrender part of this is really important, because when we say, I am going to obey God, we say we are surrendering our will to the will of the Father, knowing that what He has for us is better than what we plan for ourselves. You have to believe that to do that. See, if you don't believe that what God has for you is better than what you have for you, you won't do it. And I believe that our lack of obedience, even in the simple things, is one of the things that keeps us and separates us from the fullness of God's blessing in our lives. I know this sounds really strange, but I'm just going to say it, because when I was preparing, this is different, but as I was preparing, I heard this song in my head. It's crazy. I'm not going to sing it, believe me. That wouldn't be fair to any of you. And I'm not disobeying God by not singing it. I'm just going to say it. How many of you know the song by Frank Sinatra called My Way? Have you ever heard it? Listen to what it says. And now the end is near. And so I face the final curtain. My friend, I'll say it clear. I'll state my case, of which I'm certain. I've lived a life that's full. I've traveled each and every highway. And more, much more than this, I did it my way. I believe that a lot of us, that's the way that we go. My way. When, you know, I was thinking about it. I traveled each and every highway. That means I went wherever I wanted to go. I did whatever I wanted to do. And some of us think like that. And when we say I'm doing it my way, it means you're going to have your way and God. You know what the problem with this is? We learn it from a really young age. Kids throw temper tantrums when they're one to get their way. Adults throw temper tantrums when they're 50 to get their way with God. God says, you want your way? Go for it. Do it. There's consequences. Oh, by the way, there's consequences. Every choice you make in life has a consequence. Good or bad. That's all I know, is that when the end draws near for me, the only thing I want to hear is, well done, good and faithful servant. Not that I did it my way, but you don't get a well done unless you've done it His way. How many of you ever heard of Oswald Chambers? Oswald Chambers said this about obedience. One step forward in obedience is worth years of study about it. Wow. One time when you hear what God is saying and you do it is worth years of studying about obedience. Now, let me say this. When I talk about obedience, I'm talking about complete and total obedience to what God is asking us to do, whatever that might be. Complete obedience is the only kind of obedience. Delayed obedience is disobedience. Delayed obedience is disobedience. What I mean? When God says do something and you think, I don't know if I'm ready, I don't know if I can do, I don't know what the, I can't give that amount, and that's disobedience. Partial obedience is disobedience. I didn't bring a rah-rah word for you tonight. I'm sorry. You know what? I'm not sorry. I got to do what God says, so I'm not sorry. So when delayed obedience is disobedience, that means when God says to do something, you do it quickly. Partial obedience means when God says to do something, you do it completely. Not halfway. So let me tell you a story real quick. Because I brought something with me. It's here somewhere, there. Many years ago, I won't tell you how many, but many years ago, we were really first learning to walk with God and just learning about obedience. And I'll say this because people are at different levels of obedience. God is going to require more of him in me than he might require of some of you because of different levels that we're at. But obedience is a requirement for all. But anyway, we were in the church, and there was a, this is way back in the day when I was at Christian Center. And they were doing a fundraiser because we were building a building. And the Lord spoke to me, and I wasn't really sure about hearing the Lord's voice at that time, but I thought I heard God. And God said, but before I get in, Lucy and I were living with friends. We had saved some money to buy a house. We were living, Michael was just born, and three of us were living in a room. A room. And we had saved up some money to buy a house. And I heard the Lord say to me, I knew it was God. He said, if you give me the money that you have saved for your house, if you give that money for my house, when it's time for your house, I'll give you double. It's a great deal if you believe it, right? If you don't believe it, so I didn't know what to do, and I kind of looked back to the back of the church, and Lucy was just going like this. I don't know if she had something in her neck or if she was heard the Lord or what, but she was nodding. And so as soon as the service was over, I got up, and I literally went to the front. I said immediately, because I knew that if I went home, my perspective on this whole thing would be different in the morning, if you know what I mean. So I went up to the pastor and I said, tomorrow morning I'm going to bring a check for $7,500. So listen, I'm not talking about $100. I'm talking about, that's all the money we had. That was all the money we had. And we saved it for our house. But I believed God. So we went. Gave the money the next day. And wouldn't you know it, right after that, we found the house that we wanted. And you know, it was back in the day when you could assume a mortgage. And guess how much the mortgage was assumable for? $8,000. $8,000. I'd just given our money away. And the Lord said, buy the house. So we don't have any money. Buy the house. I said, all right. So we signed the papers. Buy the house. It's like, oh God. And this is honest. Lucy will tell you. In the beginning, I was this great man of faith. I believed God. But after a little while into this thing, as it got closer to the time we were supposed to close, I used to have nightmares. This is true. I used to have nightmares. I was like, God, they're going to arrest me. I've signed this contract, you know. And we got right down to the, like, it was the day, a couple of days before we were supposed to close, and we had $1,000, I think, and we needed $8,000. So the day, and I was up, the night before, I was up all night long, praying, fasting, crying out to God, help, please. And it's early in the morning, and my telephone rings, and it's the attorney, and he says, there's been a problem with the paperwork, we can't close for 3 days. I'm like, oh, geez, darn, you know. Never let on that, you know. Thank God, oh God, thank you. I got off the phone, it was like worshiping God. So 3 days later, nothing changed. Nothing. But the Lord woke me up and he said, just go to your office and wait for me there. So I got up and I went to my office. It was early in the morning. I'm sitting there at my desk in the church, and people started coming into my office. This is absolutely true and verifiable story. People started coming into my office with piggy banks, bags of coins, checks. It was incredible. And so now I have to go to the attorney, and the only thing I have is a bag that's filled with piggy banks, coins, checks, and we were a little bit short. And the attorney said to me, I'm waving my fee, don't worry about it. The realtor said, I'm waving my fee, don't worry about it. And we closed on the house. And it was like, wow, this is amazing. Lucy and I were so excited. So we went to our new house and we were in the backyard worshiping God. And we got this letter. What's the date on that?
October 11th, 1979.
I still have this to remind myself. There will be a check for you at the church at First Federal Savings Bank on Thursday for $7,500. What's that number say right there?
$7,500.
In that day, within a matter of a few hours, God supplied us with $15,000 just like he said, because we obeyed God. Because we obeyed God. That letter, that check would never have come had I not taken a step of faith. Now, let me ask you a couple of questions. I know that in this room, we would like to think that we all walk in complete obedience to the Lord. You all would like to think that about yourself, don't you? So let me ask you a couple of questions as I give you some examples. Do you always pray for them who treat you badly or despitefully use you, as the Bible says? Do you pray for them? I see heads going the other way. Do you quickly forgive those who trespass against you? Quickly. Forgive as you have been forgiven? Do you love your enemies? Do you do good to them that despitefully use you? Or do you curse them out when that guy cuts you off in traffic? Do you bless them? Do you obey them that have the rule over you? That means not just spiritually, but that means in the world too. Do you obey the speed limits? Others that have rule over you? How often have you gone to bed angry? Or how many times have you been angry and you sinned with your mouth? You do know I could go on all night long with this, right? The Bible is replete with examples that I could give you all night long. judge not, lie not, steal not, kill not, and the list goes on. In Luke, I'm not going to read it because I want to get to someplace tonight. You pay tithes, and you should, but you skip right over the part about judging others and loving God. Jesus was talking about to the Pharisees who paid their tithes. And the Bible says, yeah, you should pay your tithe, but oh, by the way, you're judging everybody else and you're not loving God. What are the two great commandments in the Word? Love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your mind, all your strength. And the second is like unto the first. Love your neighbor as yourself. Do you love the Lord your God with everything that's in you? Everything. Because that implies a complete surrender. And here's the deal. Obedience doesn't just involve all of the practical things like we just talked about. It doesn't just involve sin and the things that we talked about in terms of forgiveness and whatnot. But it talks about submitting our lives, our values, our emotions to God as well. In obedience and in surrender to Him. And you know what? In the world we live in today, it's sometimes difficult to do that. To surrender values. It takes faith to walk in obedience to God. It takes faith to walk in obedience to God. Now, I'm going to show you, I'm going to just kind of glaze over this because I want to get somewhere else. You all know the story of Abraham in Genesis 1, or Genesis 12, right? 1 through 4. God said, let me just read it because I want you to hear what it says. Come on. Genesis 12. The Lord said to Abram, leave your country, your relatives, your father's family, go to some place I will show you, and I will make you a great nation. I will bless you and make you famous, and you will be a blessing to others. I will bless those who bless you and curse those who treat you with contempt. And through you, all the families of the earth will be blessed. I'm reading from the New Living. And the Bible says in verse 4, Abram departed as the Lord instructed, and he was 75 years old. Now, he could have said, you know what? I'm an old man. I'm 75 years old. I grew up here. I live here. I'm not going anywhere. How do I know that if I do this, you'll bless me? How do I know that if I do this, you'll go with me? How do I know that you're going to make me a great nation? How will I know? The only way to know is to walk in faith and obedience before God. And so you know that part of the story. And then later, right, the story, after Abram goes, he receives the blessings of God. You know what it says in chapter 13? Abram was very rich in cattle, in gold, and in silver. Now, I'm not talking about, you know, sometimes people have a problem with people who have money. God wants to bless you and prosper you. So if you think God's call for your life is to be poor, that's your choice. I don't believe that. I believe God wants to bless me. I believe God wants to bless my business. I believe God wants to bless my family. And when I walk in obedience, He does. And when I walk in disobedience, I walk out from underneath the blessing of God. I have a choice. You have a choice. We have a choice. What will we do? the blessings of God to all of us are conditioned upon our obedience to Him. God always says, if you do this, I'll do this. Go read Deuteronomy 28. I'm not going to read that to you tonight. But Abraham leaving his home and his family was an act of obedience. Following God without any knowledge of where He was taking him was an act of faith. But he did it. And so it takes faith and obedience to walk in this knowledge of God. So if you read in the New Testament, it says, in Hebrews 11, it says, by faith Abraham, when he was called to go into a place which he should not after receive, which he should after receive for inheritance, obeyed. Obeyed. Not knowing where he was going. Now, I also want to tell you a story tonight about the consequences of disobedience. One of the things that you need to understand is this. Abraham, when he obeyed God, the Bible says Lot went with him. If you read in Genesis 13, that story I just told you in 13:2, it says Abraham was very rich in livestock, gold, and silver. Oh, and so was Lot. Here's what you need to understand about obedience. Your obedience or disobedience is not just about you. When you say yes to God or no to God, it has an impact on many, many other people around you. Because your obedience will have an effect on your doing what God said. Your disobedience will also have an effect. So there's a story in 1 Samuel 15 about Saul. Now this is the story, right? Samuel the prophet goes to Saul and says, God has got something for you. And here's the deal, God says through Samuel. You know, the Amalekites have kind of been a thorn in my flesh for a long time. I've made you king over, so I'm going to have you go and I want you to completely, utterly destroy the Amalekites. I mean, I don't want anything left. I don't want a goat left. I don't want a sheep left. I don't even want an infant left. I want you to destroy them all, completely, totally destroy them. Yes, sir. And off he goes. Now, one of the main definitions of the word to obey means to hear. And so when Samuel got to Saul, he said, Saul, listen to the word of the Lord. Hearken. And he explained to him exactly the instruction of God. You understand what you're supposed to do? Yes. You sure? Yes, I'm going to go do it. Hearing and obedience are connected. You obey because you hear. I pray to hear what God is saying and then I obey. When we hear God as He really is, as opposed to what we want Him to be, we move closer to being truly in a place of true obedience to Him. Because we're wanting Him, His way. I think many Christians have what we'll call selective hearing. You know, some things in the Bible it's okay to obey, and other things maybe not so much. And we like to go to that, well, that's Old Testament, or that's law, or no, that's not really what God is saying. God hates excuses, by the way. And when you have selective hearing, it's just another way of saying, I'll do it my way. I'll do it my way. So in the third verse, the commandment came, Saul's assignment complete, he understands it. So in verse 7, Saul begins to carry out the command of the Lord. I'm going to skip over to this real quick here, guys. So in 1 Samuel, he's reading or hearing what God is saying through the prophet. Just give me a second here. This thing sometimes is... All right, there we go. So Saul mobilizes his team and he gets going. And in verse 7 it says, Saul slaughtered the Amalekites. And he talks a little bit more. Then in verse 8 he says, he captured Agag, the Amalekite king, but completely destroyed everyone else. Saul and his men spared Agag's life and kept the best of the sheep, the best of the goats, the cattle, the fat calves, and the lambs. Everything, in fact, that appealed to them. They destroyed that which was worthless and of poor quality. Now, was that the instruction that he got from the prophet? No, right? The prophet said, completely destroy. And so God calls Samuel back and he says, Samuel, man, I'm really sorry that I ever gave this assignment to Saul. He didn't do what I said. It says he refused to obey me. He refused to obey me. He chose to do it his way and not mine. The Bible says that so moved Samuel that he wept all night before God, because he was so disturbed by Saul's disobedience. He cried out to God the whole night. So early the next morning, he went to find Saul. I love this. Listen. So Samuel's there. Where's Saul? And so someone told him, Saul went down to the town of Carmel to set up a monument to himself. Oh, gosh. Why would he go set up a monument to himself? Why do we do things like that? Pride, right? Pride says, the Bible says pride comes before a fall, before destruction. See, pride is one of the things that keeps us from obeying God, because sometimes... Do you ever think you know better than God what you should be doing? Do you ever go there? We all have. We are all guilty. So Samuel finally finds him and it says, Saul greeted him cheerfully. Samuel, may the Lord bless you. I've carried out the Lord's command. I have to tell you that sometimes we're like that. We think we've obeyed God because we've done part of what he said to do. You have not obeyed God until you have done everything he said to do. Partial obedience is the same as disobedience. So Samuel says, really? You did everything? Yes, I've done it. I've carried out the Lord's command. Then, wait, how come I hear sheep bleating? Not bleeding, bleating, making a noise. How come I hear cattle? Oh, that was them. You know, in our lives, it's easy to make excuses and to rationalize why we can't obey God at any given time. That's all Saul was doing. Saul was, in the King James it says, but Saul refused to, you see, we all have an excuse, a reason. I was preaching this in the King James. Bob Puff, you remember the sermon, How Big Is Your Butt? Because we all have, God says, go do this, and you say, but Lord, I want you to give that, but Lord, go pray for this person, but God, like Moses, but Lord, I can't speak, but Lord. Stop with the buts already. See, you have to ask yourself, what's your excuse for not doing what God's asking you to do? Be honest with yourself. Why are you not obeying God in some areas of your life? Why are you not doing that? Can I tell you, sometimes we're self-deceived into believing we've done something for God when we haven't done what God has asked us at all. We deceive ourselves into thinking we've done it already. We've done everything God said when we haven't done it at all. Stop finding and stop making excuses to justify your disobedience. Stop finding and stop making excuses to justify your disobedience. Now, I want to read this because this is really important. He says here, what did he tell you? Saul asked. Samuel said, although you may think little of yourself, what he's really saying is, there was a time that you were at a different level. Before you were king is really what he's saying. Before you were the leader of the tribes of Israel, the Lord anointed you king of Israel. And the Lord sent you on a mission. He said, go and completely destroy the sinners, the Amalekites, until they are all dead. And Samuel says, why haven't you obeyed the Lord? Why haven't you obeyed the Lord? Why did you rush for plunder and do what was evil in the Lord's sight? But Saul, even in verse 20, he says, I did obey the Lord. Sometimes we think we obeyed God when we really didn't obey God. See? If God says to you, I want you to give $100 in the offering, and you give 50 and you think you obeyed God, you're wrong. You didn't. But this is what the scripture says. I did obey the Lord. Saul insisted. I carried out the mission he gave me. I brought back King Agag, but I destroyed everyone else. Oh, then my troops brought in the best. You know, it's easy to blame other people for your disobedience. Well, my husband wouldn't let me give that much. My husband didn't want me to go to church today, or my wife wasn't feeling good, or my kids wanted this, or God hates excuses. Stop making them. I tell my people, I love you. That's why I'm telling you these things. And I love you all too. That's why I'm telling you these things. Sometimes, you know, we don't need to hear a word of, man, with God, nothing is impossible. With God, everything is impossible. It was possible. Sometimes we need to just hear something simple like, hey, get with the program and start obeying God. Get in His presence. Hear what He's saying and go do it. But listen to this. Here's what Samuel replies to Saul. What is more pleasing to the Lord, your burnt offerings and sacrifices or your obedience to His voice? Listen, Saul said we saved those because we were going to offer them to the Lord as a means of worship. Obedience is more important than worship because you act the way that Saul did, then you're not worshiping the Lord in spirit and in truth. And so now you're walking in disobedience. But then he goes on to say, listen, obedience is better than sacrifice, and submission or surrender is better than offering the fat of rams. Rebellion is as sinful as witchcraft. Stubbornness is like worshiping idols. So because you have rejected the commandment of the Lord, he has rejected you. There are consequences to disobedience. You may not see them as quickly as Saul did, but I promise you, you will see them. Saul finally admitted, he says, I've sinned. I disobeyed your instructions and the Lord's command because I was afraid of what the people were going to do. Are you going to listen to God or are you going to listen to men? You see? When you listen to what people are saying, you're walking, not walking in disobedience, or not walking in the obedience that God has for you. That's why when you know the Lord is telling you to go do something and somebody else tells you not to do it, who are you going to listen to? Saul begged Samuel to go back and worship with him. And he said, no, 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 and eventually he went. Then Samuel said, I'm going to finish what the Lord told you to do. And they brought the king over. And Samuel said, give me your sword. And he just chopped Agag. The Bible says he chopped him into pieces. He finished what Saul did not do. See, true worship is meaningless without obedience. There is no true worship unless we do it in obedience. They that worship God do it in spirit and in truth. Jesus said this in John 14, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments. It's that simple. If you love me, you will keep my commandments. If I understand the scripture correctly, God calls disobedience rebellion. God calls disobedience rebellion. When you don't do what God is saying, you are rebelling against God. Now, you may never have thought of it that way, but I want you to think of it that way, because the next time you think about not doing what God is saying, I want you to hear my voice beeping in your head saying, if I do this, I'm rebelling against God and I don't want to do that. Obedience is saying yes to whatever God asks of us. And it comes from a place of relationship and a genuine fear of the Lord. We obey because we have a genuine fear of disobeying God, of being rebellious. When we say yes to people, it's just nothing more than performance. Trying to be a people pleaser. Trying to make others happy. When we listen and obey men instead of God, it's disobedience, and disobedience is sin. All right. So, where do we go from here? Let me say this. I kind of alluded to it earlier. Obedience isn't a one-size-fits-all. Think of it this way. When a person is a brand new believer, it's enough for them just to know that they need to learn how to pray and read their Bible and study it. But if you've been walking with God for 15 years, you're at a different level, and God's going to require more of you in your place when it comes to obedience than he might of a brand new believer. And so it's all part of the training. So understand where you are. It's not just a one size fits all. God is working with each of us in our place where we are right here and right now to teach us. Remember that Real obedience is born out of your relationship with God. See, you do it because you love God so much, you don't want to not do what He's asking you to do. But if you don't have a real walk with God, a real relationship with God, it's easier to just do it your way. Not understanding that there's consequences. Saul lost everything he had because he walked in disobedience. God says, I want a man after my own heart. And He raised up David. That's where we are tonight. And I know that there's areas in our lives, all of us. I'm not an exception. Nobody is. These guys are not exceptions. We all have areas where we can grow in obedience. See, we think we obey, but if we don't forgive quickly, if you're sitting here tonight and you're still angry at somebody, you're walking in disobedience. If you haven't forgiven, Lisa gave the word earlier tonight. If you haven't forgiven, it's not only about you, it's when you forgive, you release, and so your disobedience is having an impact on other people. Keeping that healing or that restoration from happening. Understand that this is not just about you, but your obedience or your disobedience has a direct effect on everybody around you and on people you might not even know about. That's why you have to say, yes, Lord. What are you saying? I'll go do it. Let's pray together tonight. Father, in Jesus' name, we thank You for grace. We thank You for mercy in our disobedience, in our rebellion against You. Holy Father, we call upon You tonight. Holy Spirit, show us those areas of our lives that are not fully surrendered in obedience to You. Show us those areas in our lives where we have heard Your voice but have not obeyed. Help us to quickly repent and move on. Help us tonight to get to a place where we walk in the genuine fear of the Lord. For Lord, we do not want to displease You. We do not want to disobey You. God, we want to love You. And as an expression of that love, we will obey the commandments that You've outlined in Your word. And we will obey those things that You speak to our hearts to do. So, Father, I pray for the people of God tonight. I pray for all of us, myself included. Right where we are, at that place in our walk with You, where we are. Holy Spirit, speak to us and help us to move on to that place of obedience that we might walk in the fullness of the blessings that You have for us. That we might receive Your blessing in ways that we haven't received Your blessing before. Lord Jesus, I thank You for it. No longer will we live below the line of Your blessings. Obedience is a choice, and tonight we choose to follow You in complete obedience and surrender in Jesus' name. Amen.
Some of you may know this story. There's a man that we know who the Lord has called to minister to the native peoples of Central America, predominantly, sometimes into South America. And whatever office he holds, God knows, but he's raised many people from the dead. And one night he was ministering in a meeting in a village, and the Lord told him to go lay his hands on a leprous woman. And without hesitation, he went and he said, "I put my hand on her head and it sunk into her flesh." Because the disease had proceeded that far. And he prayed and he left. And the next night he was ministering in a village about 10 miles away. And as he was finishing up ministering, this young lady comes walking up to him and says, "I know you." And he said, "I've never met you before." He said, "Yes, I know you." And he said, "No, I don't know you. I've never met you before." She said, "Last night you put your hand on my head and asked the Lord to heal me." He said she was completely restored as a young woman, no more leprosy. When you hear God, do what he asks you to do. That's what Emilio's message for us tonight is. Lisa's done it. Go to the post office. "But I don't need anything. I'll go anyhow, but I don't need anything." Do whatever it is he asks you to do, because there is someone he wants to touch through you. So we send you this week to listen and to obey and to bring back the testimonies of what the Lord has done through you. Amen? I love you all. Stay in fellowship. There's refreshments next door. Have a blessed week.